Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
They were the best of times, and they were the worst of times. Yeah, you know, it's bad out there, folks, and it's not so bad.
What?
What does all that mean? Well, the unemployment numbers, folks, just came out about a half hour ago. It is really bad. 6.64 million new jobless claims last week. But on the good news, Oregon's infection rate of the virus seems to be not too bad. So is it working? Is all this social distancing stuff, is it working? You might be surprised to learn that it is probably. And it has in the past. It's a great story today about the Spanish flu in Oregon and how it really wasn't as bad as kind of the rest of the country. And they did a lot of the things that we're doing today. And there is a real glimmer of hope in that. And I'll share that with you as we go on through the show today. Also, the snitch line is getting lots of calls. You know, that's where people are reporting all of the price gouging. But is it really price gouging, or is it having higher prices set so people don't hoard so much, so that actually you can find some toilet paper? You can actually find some hand sanitizer. By the way, if you want hand sanitizer, check out Pro Bioscience. They have great CBD-infused hand sanitizer. And you can get for this month of April. It's spring, right? I mean, I know we're all kind of inside, although you can go outside. They haven't confined us to inside of our house yet. But anyway, it's spring. So if you want a 15% discount on your Pro Bioscience CBD products, including the CBD-infused hand sanitizer, go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. That's pro, and then put the dash sign in there, bioscience, all one word, .com. And click on the offer code SPRING. Put the word SPRING in there, and you'll get a 15% discount. So, I mean, hand sanitizer, it's kind of in short. I mean, I was in the grocery store, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, and there's none there. Can't find it. Can't find the toilet paper. Can barely find any paper towels anywhere. So is higher prices a natural consequence of a free market economy? Or is it price gouging? Do higher prices lead to people buying less stuff? I think in many cases it does, because it's human nature, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But we have a snitch line, and apparently it's getting lots and lots of attention, lots of calls. And the Department of Justice is sending out cease and desist letters. So they're telling certain retailers, and most of these tend to be either gas stations that are like 7-Eleven stores, that kind of thing, according to the story that's on Oregon Live today. And by the way, you can see all these stories at OregonWatchdog.com. Anyway, what's interesting that I found about this is that state bureaucrats are the ones who decide if it's price gouging or not. It can't be any more than 15% higher than previously established prices. So what's their formula for doing that? Well, the story doesn't say what that is. But my point to you is, do you want bureaucrats deciding if you're charging too much? And based on what? Based on what evidence? I don't like it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. Now, have we also overreacted here? That's another question I want to pose to you today. And if, this is something that you can use in your conversations with other people in your daily life right now. If you're going to work, and most of us still are, I know the unemployment numbers have come out, and I know it's really hard to get through to the state unemployment department, and they are hiring new people. There's a story about that also today. I have all of this will be up on the podcast. And if I can get my computers to work right, I'll actually get the podcast updated. But I'll do all of that. But have we overreacted? I mean, it's a lot of us think maybe we have. Look, the damage to the economy is stunning. Look at the unemployment jobless claims. Look, the estimates were between like another 3 million like we saw last week, which has been revised up to 3.3 million. So in 2 weeks, we've had 10 million people out of the American workforce of, you know, roughly 160 million people that have filed first-time unemployment claims. That's a lot. Now, the federal government, as you know, is adding an extra $600 per week to the maximum or whatever the state is going to be in your own claim, in which you can file online or you can spend 2.5 hours on hold waiting like my buddy the driveway stalker did. He's done it twice now. And, you know, that's why the phone lines are jammed. It's better off if you can do it, if you do it online on the internet. You don't have to sit for 2.5 hours and listen to the same thing over and over and over again. Can you imagine that? Wow. Anyway, so we have this massive disjointing of our economy. It's going to impact us big here in Oregon. At some point in time next week, I mean, we're on Thursday now, right? Some point in time next week, the legislature is going to have to come into session and deal with this. Now, the governor's been sick. She says she's tested negative for COVID-19. That's good, irrespective of some of my friends that wish it were otherwise. But the bottom line is, they will say, no matter what, that we haven't overreacted, that government hasn't taken too much of your freedoms from you. All in the guise or under the guise of having, you know, the public safety, the health and safety of the public at interest here. This is a fine line, to be sure, because, you know, in our country's history, again, there have been presidents who've suspended habeas corpus. There have been presidents who have thrown newspaper editors in jail. Heck, Abraham Lincoln threw the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court in jail. Now, we have to be very, very careful that we're not continuing to be led around, to be sheeple, okay? Just blindly following whatever our dear leaders tell us, including Donald Trump. Now, I will say that the president has gone a long way towards avoiding this kind of thing. And even in the news conference yesterday we were trying to get some fertilizing done in the fields, and we've just not been able to do it. It was a rainy day. Maybe we'll get it done today. Now, I've got grass seed fields. I need to get some fertilizer on. It's time. So I was working in the shop instead. And I'm listening to Trump in this news conference, and he continues to avoid these ideas of mandating things as a president. And it's, you know, this 30-day through the April 30th, these are guidelines. It's not a shutdown of the economy. The federal government has not shut down our economy. Now, states have, yes. And the president, rightly so, continues to defer to the states. And don't you think that's the right thing to do? Well, yes, it is, because it is in keeping with the spirit of our Constitution, states' rights. It is in keeping with the whole principle that our founders so passionately believed in, and that is liberty, in terms of governors and citizens within those states making decisions rather than an all-powerful, centralized federal government, which, unfortunately, we have too much of today. And Trump is resisting that, including things like, you know, mandating that people wear face masks. There are a couple of mayors out there that have done that. And I personally don't think it's a bad idea. Because you know what? If you're not sucking in somebody else's germs, that's a good thing. I don't care what they say about it, by the way. Look, there's a reason that your ICU workers are wearing face masks and PPEs and complete positive air suits. You know, I've worn positive air suits. Heck, you know, when I was years ago, when we were putting on some very dangerous chemicals for crops in very highly concentrated form, I wore a positive pressure air helmet. They're doing that today. And there's a reason why you're doing it, because it works, because you're not sucking in stuff. So when people tell you that, yeah, just walking around without a mask isn't going to stop you from. No, I disagree. I think it will help. Now, you can still pick it up with your hands and you can put it on your clothes. And yes, you can, you know, touch your fingers to your eyes and you can still get it. But if somebody's sneezing and coughing around you, remember yesterday's email from Jim, who works at a big box store, talking about people coming in and just, you know, lollygagging around for fun and having all of these, you know, having sniffling. Guy was coworker, went off on a coworker who was there, you know, hacking and coughing at work. Shouldn't be there. Well, you know, one of my great friends is the late Ames Curtright, and his widow, Dama, wonderful businesswoman, is continuing the business, and it's growing and it's an expanding. She was listening to the show yesterday, and she agreed with Jim. Her product goes into Home Depot stores. She agrees that people right now should not be out shopping unless it's absolutely necessary. What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Have we overreacted, or is it about right? Because the story in Pamplin Media today is there is evidence that our so-called restrictions, the stay at home and social distancing and all of that stuff, is actually working, that the infection rate is down. Well, let me tell you, what have I been telling you for the last 2 weeks? The data from the CDC shows that Oregon's flu infection rate was going down precipitously week by week by week. Now, this story is that there is a model by the University of Washington, and therein is the problem. Let's go to our first caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you, and what do you have to say? And turn Hello? Your radio down. You're on.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was just calling because I was in the medical profession for 45 years, and my concern is on all the different talk shows I'm hearing so many times that it's okay to wear pretty much any kind of a mask, and that is not true. If anybody just thinks about this just for a minute, the minute you breathe onto any other type of fabric or any other type of material, if it gets moisture from even your own breath, it is automatically going to draw in anything that's in the air.
Okay. Can you do me a favor and just hang on through the break here? We'll be back in 2 minutes. Interesting point. Let's be back. Listen to you.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Let's go back to our caller. Caller, by the way, what's your name?
My name is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. So 45 years in the medical system. You bring up a really good point. Why is it, in your professional experience, that certain masks are better than others?
simply by the material that they're made out of. There are certain materials that actually do filter out germs, and there is everything else that doesn't. And the other issue is, and this is really the part that I want to stress, you don't know me, but I am probably the healthiest person you're going to meet, at least in Oregon. I'm 65 years old, and the thing I have done my entire lifetime, well, at least since I was 13, is only eat 100% organic food. I never get sick with anything. I've had people bleeding on me, throwing up on me, you name it, as an RN. And this has been like most of my life. I started working as a nurse's aide at the age of 15. And what I did was I completely changed my entire life. And believe it or not, the Bible actually speaks of not eating GMOs. It's not in that language, but it definitely is in there. And he says if we obey him, he will not put on us the diseases that he puts on the rest of the world. And I am living proof of it.
Amen to that. Just briefly, do you get flu shots?
No, I do not. I haven't had a single immunization since 1969. And I refused them.
And so regarding the
mask, toxic ingredients in vaccinations collectively. And
yeah,
I have complete
I'm a little worried about that too, and that's a whole other topic, but it is one of real concern because it relates to the politics of forced vaccinations. So just briefly again, your experience is that certain masks are appropriate to be worn and others are not.
Correct.
And the right mask
people,
is...
I see people in the community all the time with, like, bandanas and all these things. Those things are going to make it worse. And not only that, if it is not properly sealed around your nose and your mouth, you might as well forget it.
Yeah, because you'll suck it in anyway. I can tell you, Elaine, from personal experience as a farmer, you know, when I'm blowing off farm equipment at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day and I'm blowing out dusty air filters, I have to wear a mask. And if it's not sealed right, I'm sucking in dirt. And believe me, I will know it. I'll be hacking and coughing up dirt out of my lungs for the whole day.
My case.
Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate you calling. And thanks for listening.
And
great story.
See, I hear this on all the shows. I mean, everybody, even the real, you know, big-time national talk show people, and it drives me crazy. Even the CDC came out just recently talking about, oh, we're going to make everybody wear a mask. I'm like, you're out of your mind. I'm not wearing it.
Well,
it ain't going to happen.
Okay. The voice of experience. Thank you, Elaine. Excellent point. I mean, folks, you're not going to argue with somebody like that that knows just based on professional experience and life experience. It's why, you know, yesterday, you know, the president's talking about, you know, even if you put a scarf over your mouth. No. What Elaine just said, it makes perfect sense. And it's reality. It's common sense. Too much common sense for politics, unfortunately. So this story. Again, it's on OregonWatchdog.com. It's out of the Portland Tribune. It says, strong evidence seen that Oregon's coronavirus restrictions are working. Well, yes and no. This is based on a model. You know, Rush said this yesterday, and I just cannot agree with it anymore. All these things that are based on models out of universities, you cannot trust it. I'm sorry. You know, maybe I will trust it a little more out of the CDC, but out of the university system, no. Why? Because the universities are full of liberals, including the health professionals. Now, maybe not all of them. I know I'm making an overgeneralization here, but University of Washington model research, a model by the University of Washington researchers forecast that Oregon's hospital system will be capable of handling the flow of patients with the novel coronavirus. Well, nothing wrong with that, and I think that's probably right. But here's the thing, is they're saying that that it appears that our transmission rate has been reduced 50 to 70%, according to a new analysis released by state health officials. And the quote from Dean Seidlinger, who's Oregon State's official epidemiologist, is quoted in the story saying, "It appears that staying homes to save lives is working," unquote. Well, the next paragraph is what I don't trust. And it says this: "The figures are only planning estimates and do not signal that Oregon has beaten the coronavirus." It's research and it's planning estimates. Now, okay, I think this is probably right, because all along I've been telling you that according to the CDC and Oregon's own, well, Oregon doesn't track. Oregon Health Authority does not track flu, believe it or not. CDC does nationally, and they're getting some data somewhere from Oregon because Oregon's included in the official estimates. But Oregon's incidence has been declining week after week after week of the flu. Flu is transmitted much the same way as this thing is. There are some differences, I get it, because I know that this thing lasts longer on surfaces and so forth. What I'm telling you is, don't trust models. Don't trust models to forecast to you, even though we have to do some of that, what's going to happen out here. Now, I don't think it's going to be as bad as everybody thinks it is for a number of reasons. But it doesn't mean we should let our guard down. The question is where's the balance? Where's the balance between incredibly damaging our economy more than necessary? Or are we getting it about right? So when we come back on the bottom of the hour break, let me share with you the story about what happened in Oregon in the Spanish flu, where they did a lot of things that we're doing today. Many of it infringed on your liberty. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. So are we getting it about right? Have we overreacted? Are we flattening the curve, is the term? Well, look, we have 736 cases of coronavirus in Oregon. We've had 19 deaths. There's been almost 15,000 people that have been tested. We have lots of ICU beds available. We have lots of non-ICU beds. We are not anything like what is happening in New York State or, frankly, Washington State, just to the north of us. Now, we have new tests that are coming shortly. I mean, there's lots of headlines here. If again, there's just tons of stuff to read about coronavirus and how it's impacting us. If you go to OregonWatchdog.com. And there is a story that in Oregon's history, We've done this stuff before, okay? In fact, there's a story here about Frere's Lumber is coping and adapting with, like many businesses are, with employing people and dealing with things that are going on here. But there is the 1918 Spanish flu did hit Oregon hard, but not as hard as some of the other places around us. And they did a lot of the things, according to this KGW8 news story, a lot of things we're doing today. The headline, and Dwight, hang on, because I'll get to in just a second here. Century-old newspapers is the headline. Show that 1918 flu pandemic hit Oregon hard. The city of Portland, this is the sub-headline, shut down schools and many businesses during the outbreak, similar to the present-day stay-at-home order for COVID-19. This segment of the show is brought to you by Eric Azor, Righteous Renovations. You can check out a great website. He has righteousrenovations.com. See all the very satisfied customers, because even though we are shut down in terms of most business, you can still renovate your home. Why don't you check it out? You got some money coming, right? We all do, from the federal government really soon. So check it out. Eric Azor, righteousrenovations.com. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Dwight first. Dwight, good morning. What do you say?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call again. One quickie. I have a question. If coronavirus can only survive for a matter of hours on a piece of clothing, and up to three days on other items, and cardboard it only lasts for a day, then why can't I just bring my groceries home, let them sit for a couple, 3 days before I use them, which is possible if you plan ahead? And why do we have to wipe down everything? Why do those people that had the store where the lady stood on the stuff threw away a whole line of 30 or 40 feet of items? And why didn't they just stash it for a couple, 3 days and put it back out? Is it true that the virus can only survive that long? Why aren't they acting on that? And so I've been trying everywhere this. Call, you know, get on the computer on the CDC and everything, ask them, and there's no way to ask questions on that. You have to choose from a list of questions. It's not there. And so I'm just wondering, what's wrong with it?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think most people, you go buy groceries because you know that you're going to need them, and you eat them relatively soon. So, I don't think it's practical to set your groceries aside for 3 days. Maybe, I don't think most people are like it. I don't think you think that way. Maybe you do, and it's not bad to think that way. That's planning ahead, and I don't think many people are quite as good at that. But in terms of wiping things down, I think that's just smart, because you can transmit this on your clothing, and you know, you're wearing your clothing. Who knows what you touch or rub up against when you're at the grocery store or wherever else you are? And who knows what you touch when you come home or rub up against, like a surface, that might get contaminated. And that's why I think this is a good idea to do this kind of thing. Now, do I practice that as well as I should? No, I don't, Dwight. I probably should do better with it, but, you know, I'm not out and about that. I'm kind of stuck on a farm these days. Yeah. I do go do some of that.
Throw away half a store full of food just because one box got stood on, you know, then they could set it aside for a week and then put it back. I don't know. Anyway.
Well thanks for taking this. This is where, you know, you're out of all of this. Dwight, one of the things that I think is going to happen out of all of this is we're going to see lots of new technologies to irradiate these things. We know that UV light, this is one of the reasons folks, you should, if you want to make your home a lot safer from viruses and bacterias, check out Freedom Heating and Air. They have these great UV light systems. I believe in it. I had one in my home. It made my home demonstrably cleaner from viruses. Just go to freedomheatingandair.net. I'm going to give them a little commercial here, freedomheatingandair.net. They can do this for you. These things work, Dwight, and there's a company that sells a robot that goes into a hospital, into, say, an ICU room, and with ultraviolet light is flashing around the room, basically laser kind of lights, and it's disinfecting the entire room and all the surfaces of the room, and it moves at different angles because you have to do that. Cool. I think that's the kind of thing that we're going to see in the future, for that's going to become commonplace for things like food. in a grocery store. So that you can walk in there, you could be assured that you're not buying stuff that is full of bacteria. That's what I think is going to come out of this. Dwight, thanks. And by the way, I got to let you go because I want to move on. But I thanks for the great article, by the way, about the pastor who's thinking about having a Christian Woodstock during this time as a protest. Look, instead of doing that, I think you ought to file a lawsuit. Okay, we ought to determine in front of the U.S. Supreme Court what's doable and what's not here about prohibiting our constitutional right to assemble. Because I'm a little worried about where we're headed. Let's see. Well, the lines are full, so we'll go next to Art. Art, what do you have to say? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I think we're doing about right. I think we're learning new things about this virus every day. And discretion, of course, is the better part of valor. You can see that places like Florida right now are getting worse. And, of course, you had all spring breakers from New York and everywhere else going down there. And so now they're getting worse. Louisiana, they went ahead and had Mardi Gras. And you know what to do that is. And so, you know, it's getting worse in Louisiana right now. I think we have done what we needed to do. We're lucky here in Oregon because we're a little more open. We don't have a dang subway or huge, massive gatherings like Mardi Gras and stuff like that. So I think we're sitting about good. I think I heard yesterday Trump is thinking about banning certain flights from certain high areas, and I think that would probably be a good move also.
Well, I think it probably is also. Art, I got to let you go because you're fading in and out. I don't know why some days your phones are perfect and some days they're
not. Airwaves, you know, Jeff, what can I say?
No, so
I'm in a bad location.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Art.
Have a great day,
right,
Jeff.
That's what Art thinks. All right, so maybe some additional steps are necessary to keep this thing from spreading to lesser states like ours from greater states. The fact that Florida, in fact, some states are literally shutting down the interstates. Did you guys see that? Some states are putting state patrol on the interstates. I think it was Connecticut or Rhode Island that was stopping people coming in from New York. Do we want to do that? Should we do that? Let's go to Super Dave. He's with us. Super Dave, good morning, brother. What do you say?
Hey, I'm still alive and kicking out here.
That's good. Are you working?
Me working?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm retired, buddy.
Oh, man. I never thought you would retire.
I know.
Been following my show.
You know how it is that I have to do, you know, what I do is I thank all the liberals that give me money to, you know, to be retired, so. Okay, beyond that, the lady that called, a nice lady and stuff like that, you know, some of the stuff I agree, but the rest of that stuff, maybe her body chemistry is good for her body that she's producing all this stuff and antibodies and all this stuff to fight anything she wants. That's fine. There's other people that drink, and then they live till they're 102 and they're still drinking whiskey. It's just a different chemistry and stuff. So, you know, I don't know. To me is zinc. If everybody started taking zinc, you'd have a little different story about everything else.
Ah, there you go.
Bingo!
Thanks, Super Dave. We've got to go to the
you
break.
Bet. See ya.
My buddy, Super Dave. Be safe if you're out there.
All right.
offices as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Bill sends me an email about the coronavirus test. He says, from my understanding, there's a lot of false positives coming from these tests. Therefore, how can you really trust all of the Fox coming from the news? Clever, Bill. He goes on to say, they say you can't take cloth bags or plastic bags into the grocery store for fear of contamination. But what about people that are paying for the groceries with cash? They say that the money is dirty and it's handled by thousands of people. Therefore, it seems to me that all that cash money should not be used. And if that's the case, what are people going to do? Personally, I always use a debit card and very seldom use cash except when I'm going to get a burger or something like that. I'm sorry, I think everything is blown out of proportion. I can't believe this is a false flag, even if there is some virus. I don't believe the statistics that are being presented. Well, in many ways, I agree with you. I don't believe in the statistics either, especially coming out of China. I think we should all know better than trust anything the Chinese are saying here. But, all right, so what about our own governor? I mean, I think we've seen with this whole business with Trump in terms of the deep state trying to get him, pretty obvious that we have some incredibly powerful tools of liberty that are being ignored. The Constitution is being ignored. And I truly believe that what was done to Donald Trump is being done to you and I every day. We know the federal government has admitted that they are, in fact, collecting mass data on us. But they say they don't look into it. You believe that? I don't. They lie in front of Congress. Nothing ever happens to them. In fact, Betty wrote me an interesting email talking about her concerns clear back when cell phones first came out and 1G was introduced on the internet. And now here we are with 5G, and we know what the Chinese are doing and why we in the U.S. are banning Huawei, and they're the leader in 5G technology, so we're trying to get caught up. But is it an excuse for government to surveil us? We know that they're tracking us right now with our smartphones. You can buy that data on the internet. New York Times did. I talked about that like a month or so ago. They can track you by your cell phone. They know who you're meeting with because they can track your unique telephone number and identifier. The data is out there and is being sold commercially. Now, that's one thing for it to be sold commercially. It's another thing for government to be tracking you in violation of the Constitution. That's why I said the way you stop this is you file a lawsuit. Somewhere there has to be a balance here, doesn't there? About the Constitution, our rights, our liberties. Now, this story, and I'm going to get to it in a second because I want to read Bruce's email real quick. Tenants and landlords, he writes, have a contract. For the state to think that they can insert themselves in is amazing. This is Kate saying, well, you can't evict anybody anymore. By what force of law, Kate? What gives you the constitutional right to do that, by the way? Anyway, he continues. We used to be a country of laws with constitutional protections. Now an emergency removes our right to self-governance, liberty, and constitutional protections. I believe most landlords will be compassionate with their tenants, both commercial and residential. But that's their decision based on their contract, not the governor's. Those executive orders, he writes, seem to believe the worst about people. I believe they're insulting the most Oregonians. Poor leadership must dictate rather than inform, recommend, encourage, and model the right behavior. these executive orders are unconstitutional and need to be challenged. I agree. But I don't think anybody's got the guts or the courage to do it. Somebody needs to step up. We need to challenge what's happening here to make sure that our liberties are preserved. Because we know what human nature is to always take it from us. Now, during this time when your liberties are being infringed on, you really do need to do some things to make your family and your life feel better and feel normal. Going and hanging out all, you know, for an hour or so at the local Lowe's or Home Depot is not necessarily the way to do that. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to go buy a limousine ride from Diamond Royalty Rides. Check them out on the web, diamondroyaltyrides.com. Based in Salem, go out and drive around. Take your whole family. I mean, you're with them anyway. Do something for family time. Yeah, it costs a little bit of money, but it's surprisingly affordable. Spend your money and the money you're going to be getting with our local businesses. And the advertisers of this show, let's bless their lives. And before I go to Rebecca, let me just say something about this Oregonian or this KGW story. You know, what we're doing today, in 1918, Portland Mayor George Baker ordered the city's schools, churches, theaters, dance halls to be closed. Now, he didn't want to shut the government down because of the economy. But he ultimately agreed that it should happen. And my point in sharing this with you, and there's lots of, it's a great story. And again, you can see all this on OregonWatchdog.com. My point in sharing that with you is, in 1918, as it is today, the response is to infringe on our constitutional rights. Is there a better way? I think there is. But that's a discussion for another day. Let's talk to Rebecca quickly. Rebecca, you got about a minute and a half. Go.
Okay. Good morning. Years ago, there was a petition that was being done, and at that time, Secretary of State Kate Brown didn't want the petition to make it onto the ballot, and so she created a new rule in her office that made it so that our petition failed. And so we took it, the people who were doing the petition took her to court, and the judge said that she could do whatever she wanted because she was the Secretary of State. So we didn't have enough money to take it to the Supreme Court, but it might have been the same exact opinion even at the Supreme Court. So we don't necessarily win by taking it to the judge. We have to have the right question, and we have to have an egregious enough infringement of our rights. And we also have to have a judge who agrees with us that it is an infringement and it's not just the right of the governor to make up whatever rules they want to in their office. And this is one of the reasons why I have been wanting term limits on bureaucrats. Not, everybody always talks about term limits on the elected officials, but within the offices, they create rules that they're allowed to just run rampant over our rights. And the judges seem like they agree that the bureaucrats can do that to it.
Well, you know, interesting idea. Rebecca, thanks. I appreciate it. Folks, thanks to each and every one of you for listening today. I appreciate it. Stacey Ann is up next with Good Morning Salem. Get out there. Make it a great day. Be safe. Practice social distancing.